That's how I usually start off my episodes. Healthyplace.com. This is from a healthyplace.com staff writer. Sexual healing from sexual abuse advice for adult survivors. So the writer is saying these following heartbreaking statements. I hate sex. It feels like an invasion of myself and my body by someone else. Life would be great if no one ever expected me to be sexual again. Tina, raped by her father as a child. That's what she said. My penis and my heart feel disconnected. I use sex as a way to blot out pain when I'm feeling down. Masturbation is a lot easier than having sex with my wife. She wants a lot of kissing and hugging, and I'm uncomfortable with all that closeness. That was from Jack, who was molested by a neighbor as a young teen. Like Tina and Jack, many survivors of sexual abuse suffer from a variety of sexual problems, and it's no wonder. Sexual abuse is not only a betrayal of human trust and affection, but it is, by definition, an attack on a person's sexuality. Our sexuality is the most intimate, private aspect of who we are. Our sexuality has to do with how we feel about being a part of the gender and sexual diversity, and how comfortable we are with our body, our genitals, and our sexual thoughts, expressions, and relationships. When you were sexually abused, whether you suffered a gentle seduction by a loved relative or a violent rape by a stranger, your view and experience of your sexuality were affected by what happened to you. The good news is that a variety of effective healing techniques now exist to help survivors overcome the sexual repercussions caused by abuse. What are the sexual problems caused by sexual abuse? The 10 most common sexual symptoms of sexual abuse are 1. Avoiding or being afraid of sex. I'll get personal here. That used to be what I was forced to struggle with due to the rapist raping me as a 5-year-old. I can honestly say that I no longer avoid sex, and I am no longer afraid of sex due to the healing work that I do every day. 2, approaching sex as an obligation. That happened to me especially after the physical rapes were over. And I can honestly say I don't approach sex as an obligation anymore due to the healing work that I do every day. 3, experiencing feelings such as anger, disgust, or guilt with touch. That used to be things that I struggled with, but now anger, disgust, or guilt with touch doesn't feel like it's holding me anymore due to the healing work that I do every day. 4, having difficulty becoming aroused or feeling sensation. That did happen to me, but it no longer happens to me due to the healing work that I do every day. 5, feeling emotionally distant or not present during sex. To some extent, that did happen to me, but I was never uncaring, and I was never egotistical. I was never diabolical. Not present during sex. To some extent, yes, but I was never inattentive. I was never ignoring my partner, so I don't struggle with those things anymore due to the healing work that I do every day. 6, experiencing intrusive or disturbing sexual thoughts and images. That happened to me back then, but no longer due to the healing work that I do every day. 7, engaging in compulsive inappropriate sexual behaviors. I was never a sex criminal. I never committed sex crimes of any kind. Never did back then. Never did now. And never did in the future. Did I engage in promiscuous sex when I was younger? Yes. Does my being ethically non-monogamous, casual, promiscuous would be a problem now? No, because whoever I had sex with, I care for them and I care about them. And whoever has sex with me cares for me and cares about me. So let's say it in the best way possible. My sexual partners and myself, we care for each other and care about each other. What that means is it's more than just sexual and physical intimacies. There is emotional intimacy, there is intellectual intimacy, there is spiritual intimacy, there is interpersonal intimacy, there is social intimacy, right? So that also means that we have safer sex slash safe sex practices. Our sexual practices are one of the ways that we protect each other. So I never did compulsive inappropriate sexual behaviors at all. Never. Even back then, I was always critically thinking and alert enough to know that I did not want to ever do those things. I want to make sure I understand what the word compulsive means for sure. Resulting from or relating to an irresistible urge, especially one that is against one's conscious wishes, physically interesting or exciting, compelling. I never regret any sexual partner I had because what my the because they were all pleasant toward me. I was always pleasant toward them too. I guess I wish that I did not, and I'm not self-blaming or hurting my own feelings when I say this. Some of the ways I acted out was because of the rapist. I wish I didn't have as many partners, but I don't regret having sex with any of the partners I've had. Maybe I wish I could have, but maybe I wish I could have understood now, but I don't blame myself, so I really shouldn't be regretting at all. That's a good point because I'm working on not being hard on myself. Eight, experiencing difficulty establishing maintaining intimate relationship. I did have that, but my saving grace was because my partners were so sweet as people, the difficulties didn't last long, which I'm thankful for. Not experiencing vaginal pain or gastric difficulties. Well, I never experienced vaginal pain. Some of my partners did, but it was more of what? Some were abused, some were not. But, and they don't mind me sharing this. I have their permission. Some was because of abuse, others was because of genetic issues, I guess. Orgasmic difficulties. Yes, I had that. I don't have that anymore. how due to the healing work I've been doing. 10. Experiencing erectile ejaculatory difficulties. When I was younger, yeah. Not anymore, though. Here's the healing work I've been doing. It was more of a mindset battle that was not and is not, never will be originally mine. So I had all those 10 struggles. And I go back to the compulsive one. I felt like the sex was compulsive. It felt like that at the time. So to some extent, it was compulsive. It wasn't so compulsive that I ended up in a hospital or something. The only thing I didn't like about that time, besides, you know, the numbers of partners, was I had bareback sex before. But I would pull out before I got too excited. I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying that's what I knew to do because that's what I witnessed many times growing up by my mom's brother doing what he was doing. And every time I went to the doctor, I was always negative. And every time they went to the doctor, they were always negative. And every time my partners took a pregnancy test, they were always negative. I'm not encouraging what happened to me or them. I'm just saying a lot of my partners were sexual abuse survivors. I'm just being honest about how there's a lot of people like me having it not so easy in this world. And another thing I want to mention was I started being sexually active at the age of 5 because the rapists were raping me at the time. So I question when did I think lose my virginity? I would say 14, even though I was having full-blown sex before 14. I would say 14 in my opinion, because that's when I fully understood the awareness of consenting and not consenting. And I felt like even though my partners and I, this is what we thought we wanted, a lot of it was because of the trauma that we both experienced separately. 14 is when I would say I knew what consent meant and didn't. Early sexual experiences are very prominent in the communities I've been a part of. Okay. What is sexual healing? Sexual healing is an empowering process in which you reclaim your sexuality as both positive and pleasurable. It involves using special healing strategies and techniques to actively change sexual attitudes and behaviors which resulted from the abuse. The process of sexual healing often includes gaining a deeper understanding of what happened and how it influenced your sexuality, increasing your body and self-awareness, developing a positive sense of your sexuality, learning new skills for experiencing touch and sexual sharing in safe, life-affirming ways. Sexual healing can take several months to several years or more to accomplish. It is considered advanced recovery work and thus best undertaken only after a survivor is in a stable and safe lifestyle and has addressed more general effects of sexual abuse such as depression, anger, self-blame, and trust concerns. There are different levels of sexual healing work that a survivor can pursue, from simply reading about recovery to engaging in a series of progressive exercises called relearning touch techniques. These exercises provide opportunities to practice a new approach to intimate touch. While some survivors are able to progress in sexual healing on their own, others find it essential to enlist the guidance and support of a trained mental health practitioner. Professional care is recommended because of the high possibility that sexual healing will stir up traumatic memories and feelings. You don't need to be in a relationship to do sexual healing work. Some exercises are designed for single survivors. However, if you have a partner, your partner needs to become educated about the sexual repercussions of abuse and learn strategies for participating actively and effectively in the healing process. Here are some ideas for how to get started in sexual healing. One, learn about healthy sexuality. The first step in sexual healing is to learn to distinguish abusive type sex from healthy sex. If you commonly use words like bad, dirty, overwhelming, frightening, hurtful, and secretive to describe sex, you need to realize that these are descriptive of sexual abuse. Healthy sexuality is something very different. It's characterized by choice, consent, equality, respect, trust, honesty, safety, intimacy, and sensual enjoyment. In the books that you read and the movies you watch, describe your exposure to abusive sex images and increase your exposure to examples of sex in which partners are responsible and express love, whether that's romantic if you're in a committed relationship, or love if compassion, love between you and your casual partner, and caring for each other. Two, see yourself as separate from what was done to you. We are all born sexually innocent. Due to sexual abuse or subsequent sexual behavior, you may erroneously believe that sexually you are bad, damaged goods, or merely a sexual object for someone else's use. Let the past be past and give yourself a healthy sexual future. You are not strapped to the negative labels an offender may have called you or to the way you saw yourself as a result of the abuse. Now you have a choice and can assert your true self with others. Old labels will disappear as you stop believing them and stop acting in ways that reinforce them. Three, stop sexual behaviors that are part of the problem. You can't build a new foundation for healthy sex until you've gotten rid of sexual behaviors that could undermine healing. Sexual behaviors that need to go typically include having sex when you don't want to, unsafe and risky sex, extramarital affairs, sex, which is anybody, even if they are toxic. I would say bareback sex if you're not planning on being a parent. Violent or degrading sex, compulsive sex, engaging in abusive sexual fantasies, or the type of sex where you're always regretting each partner you have or a partner that you had, right? Regrettable sex. Just doing it with any and everybody without being good cautious or good selective, right? If you can't do it on your own, seek help from 12-step programs and other supports. It takes time to break old habits and learn how to channel sexual energy in ways that nurture the body as well as the soul. Four, learn to handle automatic reactions to touch. Many survivors encounter unpleasant automatic reactions to touch and sex, such as flashbacks of the abuse, fleeting thoughts of the offender, or strange reactions to something a sexual partner does or says during lovemaking or sex, or let's just be blunt, fucking. While these reactions are common, unavoidable, even protective results of trauma years later, they can get in the way of enjoying sex. By developing understanding and patience, you can learn to handle them effectively. When you experience an unwanted reaction to touch, stop and become more consciously aware of your reaction. Then calm yourself physically with slow breathing, self-massage, and relaxation techniques. As soon as you can, affirm your present reality by reminding yourself of who you are now and that you have many options. You may also want to alter the activity in some way to make it more comfortable. Automatic reactions will diminish over time and you become more aware of and responsive to them. Five, familiarize yourself with touch techniques. You can use special touch exercises to help you learn intimate touch in a safe and relaxed way. Different from traditional sex therapy techniques, which can be overwhelming to survivors, the relearning touch techniques provide a wide assortment of exercises from which to choose as you feel ready. You can do some relearning touch exercises on your own, while others require a partner. These exercises help you develop skills such as feeling relaxed with touch, breathing comfortably, staying present, communicating with a partner, having fun and expressing receiving love, whether that's romantic if you're committed to a relationship, or compassionate love if you're in a casual relationship, you know, through physical contact. The exercises are progressive and follow a sequence from playful, non-sexual touch to sensual, pleasuring touch activities. When necessary, you can address specific sexual problems such as orgasmic and erectile difficulties. By modifying standard sex therapy techniques using the new skills acquired in relearning touch, you can repair the damage done to you in the past. You can look forward to a new surge of self-respect, personal contentment, emotional intimacy. When you reclaim your sexuality, you reclaim yourself. So I put some of my words to Wendy Malta's words. She's MSW. She's an internationally recognized therapist and expert on healthy sexuality and sexual recovery. Her books include A Sexual Healing Journey, A Guide for Survivors of Sexual Abuse, Private Thoughts, Exploring the Power of Women's Sexual Fantasies and Incest and Sexuality, A Guide to Understanding and Healing. So I learn about healthy sexuality. I see myself as separate from what was done to me. I stop sexual behaviors that are part of the problem. I learn to handle automatic reactions to touch, and I familiarize myself with touch techniques. Those are my sexual healing work ideas. Sex and trust issues. This is from HealthyPlace.com staff writer. Trust is an important quality in healthy sex. It helps us feel emotionally safe and secure about choosing to remain in an intimate relationship with our partner. I say casual or committed, both. Without trust, we're likely to feel growing amounts of anxiety, fear, disappointment, and betrayal. Trust grows when both people or all the partners involved in the relationship or relationship. Trust grows when both people or all the parties involved, because you know you have group sex, and the relationship actor acts responsibly and follows through with commitments. Meaning, to be respectful of each other is what they mean. While no one can guarantee that any relationship or relationships will last and remain satisfying for both people or the parties involved, you can strengthen mutual trust by having clear understandings about what you expect from each other in the relationships. Spend time with your partner or partners discussing what you need and want and expect in relationships for you to feel emotionally safe. Based on your discussions, create a list of understandings you will all agree to honor. You may want to familiarize your list into an actual quote unquote contract, in quotations. You may want to formalize your list into an actual quote unquote contract you will follow. And they put contract in quotation. Below is an example of a healthy sex trust contract. These mutual understandings are often important to building trust in a healthy sexual relationship. Feel free to use this sample list to help you and your partner or partners in generating your own set of relationship ground rules. We agree that it's okay to say no to sex at any time. I personally live that out. My partners do. It's okay to ask for what we want and need sexually without being teased or shamed for it. My partners and I abide by that. We don't ever have to do anything we don't want to do sexually. My partners and I are on board with that. We don't ever have to do anything we don't need to do sexually. My partners and I are on board with that. We will take a break or stop sexual activity whenever either of us requests it. That's my partners and myself. It's okay to say how we are feeling or what we are needing and wanting at any time, any place. as my partners and myself. We agree to be responsive to each other's needs and wants for improving physical comfort, myself and my partners. What we do sexually is private, not to be discussed with others outside our relationship, unless we give permission to discuss it. That's my partners and myself. We are each ultimately responsible for our own sexual fulfillment and orgasm, my partners and me. Our sexual thoughts and fantasies are our own, and we don't have to share them with each other unless we want to and need to reveal them. My partners and myself. We don't have to disclose the details of a previous sex relationship unless that information is important to our present partner's physical health or safety. My partners and me. We can initiate or decline sex without incurring a negative reaction from our partners. My partners and myself. We each agree to be sexually monogamous unless we have a clear prior understanding that it's okay to have sex outside the relationship. This includes virtual sex, in-person sex with another, and others, such as phone or internet sex, my partners and myself. We will support each other in minimizing risk and using protection to decrease the possibility of disease, infection, and unwanted pregnancy. That's my partners and myself. We each agree to be medically tested for sexually transmitted diseases and infections at any time. My partners and myself. We will notify each other immediately if we have or suspect we have a sexually transmitted infection and disease. My partners and myself. We will notify each other if we suspect or know that a pregnancy has occurred from our lovemaking or sex. Or put it bluntly, one more time, fucking. That's my partners and myself. We will support each other in handling any negative consequences that may result from our lovemaking, sex, or this is actually the last time meaning at this time, fucking. That's my partners and myself. So this is Macular V by Harry Croft, MD, last updated June 25th, 2019. All right. I'm just very much glad about my life, you know. It has truly shown me that I do have what it takes to continue to heal, and I show that all the time. Some of this is repetitive, but it's healthy now, later, and forevermore, even healthy back then. It's HealthyPlace.com. Sexual intimacy after sexual assault or sexual abuse. HealthyPlace.com staff writer. Many adult survivors of sexual abuse find that their sexual attitudes and reactions are impacted after sexual assault or sexual abuse. While these effects are not permanent, they can be very frustrating as they can decrease the enjoyment of one's sexual life and intimacy with others for some time. Fortunately, even if one does not actively work on sexual healing, as the sexual assault or abuse is healed, the sexual symptoms will diminish. Experiencing sexual symptoms after sexual assault or abuse is not only very common, but is also understandable. Sexual abuse is not only a betrayal of human trust and affection, but it is, by definition, an attack on a person's sexuality. Some people may react to this attack by avoiding sexual activity and isolating their sexual selves, perhaps feeling losing control over their body or feeling vulnerable to someone else. I used to have those issues, but I don't anymore due to the healing work I do daily. Others may react by having more sexual activity than they had before this experience. At one point, that was me, but not anymore due to the healing work I do every day. Possibly because they may feel that sex is less important to them now, or that it's a way for them to regain a sense of power. Mine was definitely regain a sense of power. But I've had help in regaining the power in terms of me feeling like I lost it, being made to feel like I lost it, actually, with the help of trained professionals and my inner circle, of wise folks. No matter what your reaction after sexual assault or sexual abuse, it is important to remember that it is a part of your healing, helping you process what happened to you and regain a sense of normalcy. Positive normalcy is key. Common sexual symptoms. The sexual effects that a survivor may experience after sexual abuse or sexual assault may be present immediately after the experiences, or they may appear long afterwards. Sometimes the effects are not present until you are in a trusting and loving relationship. That could be casual, that could be committed, right? Or when you truly feel safe with someone. The 10 most common sexual symptoms after sexual abuse or sexual assault include 1, avoiding or being afraid of sex, 2, approaching sex as an obligation, 3, experiencing feelings such as anger, disgust, or guilt with touch, 4, having difficulty becoming aroused or feeling a sensation, 5, feeling emotionally distant or not present during sex, 6, experiencing intrusive or disturbing sexual thoughts and images, 7, engaging in compulsive or inappropriate sexual behaviors, 8, experiencing difficulty establishing and maintaining an intimate relationship, 9, experiencing penile pain or orgasmic difficulties, 10, experiencing erectile ejaculatory difficulties. Discovering your specific sexual symptoms is an important part of beginning sexual healing. It can be very upsetting to think about all the ways that the sexual assault or abuse has influenced you sexually, yet by knowing, you can begin to address those symptoms specifically. One way to uncover your sexual symptoms is to complete the sexual effects inventory in a sexual healing journey by Wendy Maltz. This inventory is a tool to give you a general picture of your sexual concerns at this time. It will indicate to you how the sexual assault or abuse may have impacted your attitudes about sex, your sexual self-concept, your sexual behavior, and your intimate relationships. Although completing the inventory can be overwhelming, it could be a good place to start in understanding how your sexuality has been impacted by the abuse. Many of the effects of the sexual assault slash abuse on your sexuality are a result of the sexual abuse mindset. This mindset consists of false beliefs about sex and is common to experience after sexual assault or abuse. I was taught false beliefs about sex from the rapist. False beliefs about sex are commonly developed because a sexual assault or abuse is confused with sex that was forced upon me. It is important to remember that while sexual activity was a part of the sexual assault or abuse, it was not healthy sex, never has been healthy sex, never will be healthy sex, because it was not, is not, never will be consensual, and the perpetrator or perpetrators use sexual activity to gain power over you, making abusive sex. That was forced upon me too. The following table summarizes the differences between healthy sexual attitudes and sexual attitudes that equate sex to sexual abuse. With time and the suggestions given later, it is possible to shift a sexual abuse mindset to healthy sexual attitudes. Okay. Sexual abuse mindset, sex equals sexual abuse. Now, this is what I want to say. One of them says sex is private or sex is an expression of love. Let me get those two things very quickly. If you're a porn performer, then that's different. And let me address this before I go any further. How, but Antonio, you mentioned your porn aspirations, so how can you keep what you do sexually with your partners confidential? Well, on screen is different than off screen. So off screen, I'm living up to what I'm saying. On screen is ethical sex for the world to see. So if because I'll be in that type of business, it's okay with myself, my on-screen partners, that this is public. My off-screen partners would be totally different. They won't be out there like that unless they want to be. If they don't want to be, they won't be out there like that. They don't want their name out there. If they don't want their bodies out there, if they don't want anything about them out there, it will never be out there. Even in death, I'll make sure that I have the people around me to forever keep that under wraps. So that's what I wanted to say. So sex, expression of love. I would say sex is an expression of compassionate love if it's casual. Sex and expression of love, meaning romantic, if it's committed. So I wanted to get those two things really dealt with before I go any further. Now I will go further. Sex, so most of this, so these things tend to do with on, they can apply to on-screen and off-screen. Most of the qualities do, except the sex is private, sex expression of love. Those two things, the first one, the private one, obviously that doesn't apply if you do porn. And when you say love, people need to know that compassionate, casual, romantic, committed, right? You can show compassion, casual, committed, by the way, I just want to say that. But these things can apply to on-screen and off-screen if you really think about what I'm saying. So sexual abuse mindset, sex equals sexual abuse. So this means sex is uncontrollable energy. Sex is an obligation. Sex is addictive. Sex is hurtful. Sex is a condition for receiving love. Sex is doing to someone. Sex is a commodity. Sex is void of communication. Sex is secretive. Sex is exploitive. Sex is deceitful. Sex benefits one person. Sex is emotionally distant. Sex is irresponsible. Sex is unsafe. Sex has no limits. Sex is power over someone. A healthy sexual attitude, sexy positive sexual energy are, sex is controllable energy. Sex is a choice. Sex is a natural drive. Sex is nurturing healing. Sex is an expression of love. Sex is sharing with someone. Sex is a part of who I am. Sex requires communication. Sex is private. Sex is respectful. Sex is honest. Sex is mutual. Sex is intimate. Sex is responsible. Sex is safe. Sex has boundaries. Sex is empowering. Moving towards healthy sexual attitudes and reactions. The passing of time and positive sexual experiences by yourself or with a partner will naturally move you towards more healthy sexual attitudes. You can also actively begin the process of shifting ideas that promote the sexual abuse mindset to healthy sexual attitudes by trying some of the following. One, avoid exposure to people, things, and situations that reinforce the sexual abuse mindset. Avoid any media, TV programs, books, magazines, websites, etc., that portray sex as sexual abuse. This includes avoiding unethical pornography. Unethical pornography consistently depicts sexually aggressive and abusive situations as pleasurable and consensual. As an alternative to unethical pornography, there are erotic materials often named erotica and ethical porn, where the sexual situations shown display sex with consent, equality, and respect. Two, use positive and accurate language referring to sex. When referring to body parts, use the proper names, not slang terms that can be negative or degrading. Pause. You can use the slang terms as long as you don't use them with negative intentionality nor degrading intentionality. So the slang terms are not the problem. It's the usage behind the slang terms that can be negative or degrading if we have a hard heart. So we got to be careful about that. Ensure that your language about sex refers that sex is something positive and healthy, that it is something that you can make choices about. Do not use words that reinforce the idea that sex is sexual abuse, such as banging or nailing. Pause. I think banging and nailing are good to use as long as you do not use them with negative, degrading intentionality. Right? So the words aren't the problem. It's the context that makes them yay or nay, right? So if we have the centrality of slang terms and words being used to convey heartlessness, I don't fault the slang terms or the words themselves. I fault the user and the usage. Wait a minute, let me pause. I don't fault the slang terms. I don't fault the words. I fault the unhealthy usage of words such as slang terms and other words that are innocent in and of themselves and neutral in and of themselves too. I blame the hard-hearted user for those words and slang terms. Three, discover more about your current sexual attitudes and how you would like them to change. Spend time considering how you would feel about sex if you've never been sexually assaulted or abused. Consider how you want to think and feel about sex in the future. Or discuss ideas about healthy sexuality and sex with others, such as when your friends, partners, therapists, or support group members. Five, educate yourself about healthy sex. Read books, take workshops, talk with a counselor. I would also say avoid unethical erotica too. Ethical erotica, beautiful. Ethical porn, beautiful. Unethical porn, ugly. Unethical erotica, ugly. Here we go. One way you can determine if you are about to engage in healthy sex is by asking yourself if your current situation meets all the requirements of the CERTS Healthy Sex Model, CERTS. Here we go. One, consent. Can I freely and comfortably choose whether or not to engage in sexual activity? Am I able to stop the activity at any time during sexual contact? Two, equality. Is my feeling of personal power on equal level with my partner? Does neither of us dominate the other? Three, respect. Do I have a positive regard for myself and for my partner? Do I feel respected by my partner? Do I feel supportive of my partner, supported by my partner? Four, trust. Do I trust my partner both at physical and emotional level? Do we have a mutual acceptance of vulnerability and an ability to respond to each other with sensitivity? Five, safety. Do I feel secure and safe within the sexual setting? Am I comfortable with and assertive about where, when, how the sexual activity takes place? Do I feel safe from the possibility of unwanted pregnancies, STDs, and STIs? So I follow the CERTS Healthy Sex Model. I do. And I want to say something real quick. If your partners don't mind the slang terms and the words, then it's okay to use them as long as you have positive usage of the slang terms and the words. But if you have a partner that doesn't like any of those things, don't say any of those things ever at all whatsoever. Okay? So that's the middle ground I found on that. Some people want you to use the proper names and the slang terms and the words. For those type of people, I use them. Some people just say, just use the proper names and nothing else. Then that's what I use too with those other people. Okay, sexual activity. For many people, it is essential to take a break from sexual activity at some point in their healing. This break is an opportunity for you to consider your own sexual self without any concerns about someone else's sexual desires. It also ensures that your time and energy can be focused on healing and not worrying about sex or sexual advances. Taking a break from sexual activity is an important option for survivors to have. Regardless of how long they've been in a relationship, whether or not they are married or common law, or just casual. Do have casual relationships, and we gotta include casual relationships in this as well. When you decide to be sexually intimate with someone, challenge yourself to take some steps towards engaging healthier sexual activities, such as Only have sexual activity when you really want to, not when you feel you should want to, such as a long period away from your partner or on your anniversary or another special occasion. 1, take an active role in sexual activity. Communicate with your partner about how you are feeling, your preferences, including what you don't like or what makes you uncomfortable, as well as your desires. 2, give yourself permission to say no to sexual activity anytime, even after you have initiated or consented to sexual activity. Those are the rules I live by as well. It can be helpful to discuss guidelines regarding your shared sexual intimacy that can help you feel safer during sexual encounters. The following is an example of a list of guidelines that you can use in your own relationship. Discuss this list with your partner and feel free to add to it or take away items so that it results in a complete list of ground rules that make you both feel more comfortable. So let's read the healthy sex trust contract. Okay? It's okay to say no to sex at any time. It's okay to ask for what we want sexually without being teased or shamed for it. We don't ever have to do anything we don't want to do sexually. We will take a break or stop sexual activity whether either of us requests it. It's okay to say how we are feeling or what we are needing at any time. We agree to be responsive to each other's needs for improving physical comfort. What we do sexually is private and not to be discussed with others outside our relationship unless we get permission to discuss it. We are ultimately responsible for our own sexual fulfillment and orgasm. Our sexual thoughts and fantasies are our own, and we don't have to share them with each other unless we want to reveal them. We don't have to disclose the details of the previous sexual relationship unless that information is important to our present partner's physical health and safety. We can initiate or decline sex without incurring a negative reaction from our partners. We each agree to be sexually faithful unless we have a clear prior understanding that it's okay to have sex outside the relationship. This includes virtual sex, such as phone or internet sex. We will support each other in minimizing risk and using protection to decrease the possibility of disease and / unwanted pregnancy. We will notify each other immediately if we have or suspect we have a sexually transmitted infection. We will support each other in handling any negative consequences that may result from our sexual interactions. Okay, once you and your partner have agreed on your complete set of guidelines in your sexual relationship, you should also discuss what the potential consequences will be for breaking one of the guidelines. Automatic reactions to touch. Even once you have set up guidelines to make sexual activity feel safer for you, you may experience automatic reactions to touch, such as a flashback, a panic attack, a sense of sadness, a sense of fear, dissociation, nausea, pain, and freezing. Those are things I felt, but no longer due to the feeling of that every day. These reactions are unwanted and upsetting to both of you and your partner and all the partners involved. Unfortunately, with time and healing, they'll minimize frequency and severity. In order to gain control of your body and mind during the automatic reaction, you want to ensure that you stop all sexual activity. Take time to make yourself aware of and acknowledge that you are having an automatic reaction. Try to consider what triggered it. Once you have made yourself aware that you're experiencing an automatic reaction, take some time to calm yourself, make yourself feel safe again. Pay attention to your breathing and try to take slow, deep breaths. Take some time to bring your mind and body back to the present by reorienting yourself and your surroundings. Remind yourself that you're no longer living with sexual assault or abuse. Using your different senses, make yourself aware of your current environment. What do you see? What do you hear? Touch some of the objects around you to ground yourself to the present. After you have overcome an automatic reaction, take some time to rest and recover. These reactions are overwhelming for both your body and mind. When you are ready, take some time to think about the trigger of your automatic reaction. If there is some way you could alter the situation somehow so that the trigger does not happen or doesn't affect you in the same way. For example, perhaps changing the setup of the room would be helpful, or asking your partner not to do the activity that you believe may have set off your flashback. Also, if you are being triggered while being intimate with a partner, discuss with your partner what you would like them to do when you have automatic reaction. Example, stop what you're doing, hold you, talk to you, sit with you, etc. Ooh, those things are turns on for me when I do feel automatic reactions, by the way. Ask your partners to watch for signs that you're having automatic reaction to stop sexual activity and even have one. Those are the kind of partners I have, I know for certain. So, relearning touch. Many survivors find that because of sexual assault or abuse, they experience sexual touch or certain sexual activities as negative and unpleasant. Through specific therapeutic exercise, you can learn to enjoy and feel safe during sexual touch. There are exercises that you can do on your own and also those that you can do with a partner. A series of relearning touch exercises are described in Chapter 10 of Wendy Maltz's book, The Sexual Healing Journey. If you're in a relationship at the time that you want to actively begin healing sexually, it is important that you work together. It's essential that you feel safe and comfortable with your partner and that your partner always respects your limits and is prepared to follow your lead throughout this process. Partners who act in ways that mimic sexual assault or abuse, such as touching without consent, ignoring how you feel, behaving in impulsive or hurtful ways, will prevent you from healing. Building emotional trust and a sense of safety in a relationship are important prerequisites to enjoying sexual intimacy. Conclusion: fortunately, the effects that sexual assault or abuse have on your ability to enjoy sexual intimacy can be minimized and healed with time and efforts. The process of sexual healing is one that must be done slowly and patiently, and it works best if it follows or coincides with other healing regarding the assault or abuse. The guidance of a counselor can be very beneficial in the process of sexual healing. It's often recommended as this process can trigger difficult memories, as well as not knowing how to handle emotions that are not deemed peaches and cream, right? While sexual healing is something that may take much time and energy, ultimately lead to enjoyment of sexual intimacy that is consistently positive and pleasurable. So, I want to say this on record that some people would say let me get my thoughts together now that I have. I'll say it now. So I want to mention that some people would say, don't you think you would experience your body and your sexual performances and your sexuality and gender identity all being demeaned by many hard-hearted people? Here's my answer to that. I focus on the people who enjoy my body, my sexual performances, my sexuality, and my gender identity. I don't focus on those hard-hearted people. What I'm doing in porn in the future has nothing to do with sexual assault, nor sexual abuse, nor rape, nor molestation, no sex crimes at all. It has everything to do with I would be this way without all of those sexual horrors forced upon me. And I'm not a people pleaser. I'm not squeaky clean. I'm not nice all the time. I'm harsh when I need to be, appropriately speaking. Some people say, but wasn't your body, sexuality, sexual performance, in quotations, I say quotations because we're about to feel to it, makes sense. And your gender identity, wasn't that all made fun of by your mother's brother and the rapist? Yes, but you're repeating that in your adulthood. But it's on my terms as an adult. And those hard-hearted people are saying, will be saying those things out of envy and jealousy over the fact that I can be myself in that way, porn way, erotic way. And they wish they were me, so they're undercover fans posing as public haters. That's how I look at it. I don't give them time, energy. So it doesn't come off as something I need to never do. In my view, it would be I'm okay with being made fun of in that way as an adult, because I know that I'm in their head. They think about me because they wish they could have my life, my gifts, and my ability to be public in such a way that many people wouldn't do. I do. It's one of my forms of courage. If anybody's saying otherwise, they don't understand the need to have ethical sex portrayed publicly. A real portrayal, not an Oscar, Emmy, Grammy, Tony type portrayal. So that's how I look at it. Okay. And so I feel like I did an excellent job of answering the question. And I'll read one more article, okay? One more. Regaining your sexuality after rape, healthyplace.com staff writer. The impact of rape should never be minimized, but after time, you do need to move forward with life, and part of this is getting in touch with your sexuality. This is a very important area in healing, as negative self-images, lack of self-worth, and a disregard for your sexuality are all common experiences after abuse. This contributes to a very unhealthy way of living, whether you're experiencing symptoms of frigidness or have gone the other way towards reckless sex. So what can you do? The first and most important step is actually in your mind. The 12-step programs and other similar programs have a saying that broadly reads, give me the courage to make the changes I need to in my life, the strength to accept what I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Well, as much as I would love to tell you that you cannot change what has already happened, what is important now is how you deal with it. In the case of rape, we can hope that the trauma has not left you with any physical scars. It is important, whether you have reported the rape or not, to see a doctor for an STD and STI check. Many STDs, such as chlamydia, can remain undetected in your system for months and cause irreparable damage to your reproductive system. In some cases, the pregnancy can result. I can't offer any advice here. What you choose to do in a situation should be exactly that, your decision. My thoughts would be with you. Whatever you decided to do. Let us hope that you're STD and STI free, that you are not pregnant when it comes to the result of the trauma, but you're still alive. Chances are your sex life is still going to be a part of your life, no matter how you might be feeling at this moment, and it should be. Making love is one of the most expressive ways of showing your feelings towards your partner. It would be lovely if it could continue to be so for you. Unfortunately, even if you have got your mind around the trauma, your body has a memory of its own. Many women report having episodes where they involuntarily cringe when a loved one touches them. You have men who experience that too, by the way. And many more report problems when actually having intercourse. That's not just a women thing, that's a men thing too. Vaginal dryness, muscle tensing, or needing Viagra for men, you know, or the impression leaving one's body during sex are all common for somebody who's been sexually abused. It is going to take time to move forward from all this, and extremely patient partners. By the way, leaving one's body during sex, muscles tensing, or also other symptoms of sexual abuse as well to experience. Let me keep going. If you are not in a relationship at the time of the rape, you have taken the time to rebuild your self-confidence in other areas for a while and probably not even thought about dating. Sooner or later, though, it will happen. What you will find is you will be careful about who you date, keeping yourself safe and important at all times, and be careful about getting yourself into situations which could lead you to being pressured to doing things you're not ready for. You may be wrestling with the dilemma of should you tell your new partner about the rape or not. This will depend on the depth DEPTH of your relationship and how they appear to you. If you're planning to have an intimate relationship with this person, you're going to have to feel as safe as you ever could be, and that does take time. It'll probably pay to tell them. A good partner will understand and be both helpful and patient. What you can do is learn to accept non-sexual contact from them. Cuddles and hand-holding may seem a little lame, but they help you to build your trust in them. Kissing and more will happen as you feel comfortable. Do not under any circumstances stay with a person who is pressuring you to go any further intimately than you feel happy with. It will not work for you no matter how great they are in other areas. Later on, massage is an excellent technique for encouraging touch without necessarily being sexual. It is quite an intimate expression of feelings, and their massaging will benefit you as in helping you relax in intimate surroundings. You also gain confidence in yourself giving them pleasure through a massage. You will know when you are ready to go further, it will happen. By yourself, another thing you can do is learn to love your own body. Many people experience self-loathing of their own body image with or without abuse. This can lead to eating disorders and many other problems. By the way, the pleasure is not one-sided. It's both-sided. And if it's a group of y'all, it's all-sided, right? Learn to appreciate your own body naked. See it for what it truly is, a magnificent casing for your awesome spirit. Be comfortable in touching yourself and keep yourself healthy and clean. Larger people can get the illusion of being magnificent sexual creatures because they are comfortable with who they are. I speak from experience. This is the writer saying that. Don't put your body down or ever blame the way you look for what has happened. It's not your fault. Well, I want to say this. Larger people can be magnificent sexual creatures just like non-larger people. Okay? So that's innocent and beautiful in and of itself. Love your body, warts and all. It does marvelous things for your self-confidence. If somebody else criticizes the way you look, your body shape, or anything else like that, then they have the problems. Do not make the problems yours. That's what I was saying earlier. Making love, having sex, being intimate, fucking. Okay, that's definitely the last time. I didn't know that was going to be something that they're going to say in terms of what was written, but hey, whatever you call it, it could be a wonderful thing. Don't let rape rob you of the chance to have genuine happiness and joy in your life. Choose to reclaim your sexuality without abusing it yourself and move on with your life. And do not abuse the sexuality of others. Do not abuse the sexuality of another too. Be happy, be joyful, take time to love yourself, stay safe. I added some things to what Lisa's saying. Lisa's a rape survivor who shares what she's learned from her experiences. I'm a rape survivor too. So, there you have it. Sexual Justice Part 3 is the finale. It's the finality, right? So, this is the part where I lovely conclude, and I conclude lovingly.